I hope it's clear that you understand that Almighty God loves you, and we're certainly glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. It's Friday. It's February 10th. Wow, this month is just marching along. I remember thinking about, wow, we have Thanksgiving and Christmas on the horizon, and then end of year, and wow, we're into January. Now we're midway through February, and pretty soon we're going to be saying, oh, I can't wait for spring. Well, you know, in Illinois, you just never know. It might be some months away. We might probably have a couple wind chill factors around the horizon and more snow, but I'm kind of reveling in how wonderful the winter has been. But I want to begin today's program on this edition of Mark and Friends, and I have a special guest that I'm excited to introduce you to in just a moment. But I'll begin with a reading from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, I think we could close out the program and just kind of feed on that verse and feed on that message and allow God to work in our hearts and minds the fact that he's going to bring to completion the things that he has began in us. And it's a great prayer. I know many moms and parents will pray for their children. Oh, Lord, I give my child to you, and I just trust that that work that you began in their hearts, you'll bring to completion. And I know many years ago, Carrie, when I was witnessing to her, she had pointed out, hey, Mark, you're kind of trying to take over here. Let God bring to completion the work in my life. And it was a good lesson for me to remember that God's in control. We can do our best. We can model Christ. We can love on people. We can direct them with biblical teaching. We can encourage them. But really, it's God through the Holy Spirit that's going to bring to completion some of those things, some of those seeds that we've planted. And the pressure is really off of us. I always tell people, hey, I'm a full-time job for God, just for him to work in and through my life. I don't have to worry about where everyone else is at, though I know we're called to be involved in people's lives. Sometimes it takes the pressure off of the individual, in my case, myself, because I don't have to worry where everyone else is at. I want to assist them. I want to nurture them towards godly things. I want to point them towards the Savior. But the pressure isn't on how good I can do that or how well I can model it. It's really God who can bring those things to completion. Well, anyways, I don't want to get on a tangent. I tend to do that. I have a special guest in the studio, and I love the fact that on Mark and Friends, I get to be introduced to people that I've known maybe from a distance or I've learned about or I've heard about. And that's the case today with Pastor Mac Burberry. He served in the Muhammad area 17 years at the Muhammad Christian Church. He's done a lot of trips over to Haiti, and that was how I began to learn a little more about him, because Karen Harrison, my office manager, heard me mention about a trip to Haiti someday, and she says, Mark, you got to get a hold of Pastor Mac. He's done many trips to Haiti. He's been serving over there for like 27 years. He coordinates a lot of trips. He's involved in a lot of things. And so we talked Pastor Mac and discussed getting you here in the studio. So thanks for being available this morning. I know you grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, and you've been all around the United States. You've been involved in medicine. You've been a traveling musician. And these are some of the things I didn't know about you, but we were having church here before we got on the air. And that's what I love, having individuals here in the studio, because you get to hear some of their life story and the various ways God's worked in and through them, their passion for the scripture, for reaching the lost, communicating the gospel to those that are hurting. And then being inspired actually through your wife, Ruthie, some years ago to get involved in Haiti. And I also learned just recently, just this past November, Ruthie went to be with the Lord. You were married 29 years. And so we got to have some really close, special time just recounting what a godly woman she was. She was a nurse, just some of her life story and the happy, sad situation of losing a dear one after 29 years of marriage. And yet also knowing she's in a better place, and just the suddenness of her illness, of her loss. I would like on this program to have you share some of the snapshots from your life and some of the ways that God's been working in your life to bring you to this point. tonight, where you're raising up a hospital, among other things, in Haiti. So it just sounds like Ruthie was a God-given helpmeet, a person that God raised up for your life that was there through all this, and it actually was part of the inspiration behind you serving in Haiti. So maybe a few snapshots from your life, how you met Ruthie, a little of that journey that you're going through now, serving the Lord without her, and then serving in Haiti. I know it's a tall order, but see if in the next 20 minutes we can cover some of those topics.
There you go. Well, Mark, it's wonderful to be with you and with your audience this morning. The joy that God brought to my life through Ruthie Burberry is hard to capsulize, but God's partnerships are always important in our lives, and God's the one that uses them, and God's the one that chooses when to end them. You know, I'm grateful that my wife had great hope in the Lord, as I do, and so I look forward to seeing her someday in heaven. 34 years ago, I met my wife. We dated for about 5 years. I tell people it took me 5 years to convince her how lucky she was to get me in. And it wasn't until the last couple of years that she decided, I'm just kidding about that part. But seriously, God used my wife in a lot of different ways to grow and change me, and I hope he used me to grow and change her as well. That's the way God works in marriages.
Now, were you both saved at the time?
Yes, we actually met in the hospital at Lincoln, Illinois. I was a paramedic. I worked on code teams there. My wife was a nurse, and frankly, my first impression wasn't really good, or her first impression of me wasn't really good. It was during a cardiac arrest of a patient, and you tend to give direct orders during those times, not polite orders at times, but met her there, and we both had been saved. We both were fortunate to be raised in Christian homes, and both had been drawn to Lincoln, different eras in our lives, but both been drawn to Lincoln to attend Lincoln Christian College at the time. I had graduated from there, was working in the emergency room, working on my master's degree, doing a little bit of traveling music, as you mentioned earlier, and met Ruthie there. We dated for about 5 years and were married. And in fact, Ruthie always wanted to go on a medical missions trip. And so it just so happened God kind of orchestrated that as I moved to Mahomet. Initially came here to help the church in a transition and served as their interim pastor. And then I came back after they called a full-time pastor and served as their associate for a couple of years. And it was during that time that we took 4 high school kids from this area to Haiti. We were actually signed up to go to Costa Rica, and 2 weeks before we were to leave, our host missionary's father had a heart attack, and so the leading organization called us and said, well, you're going to go to Haiti instead. And my wife and I both said, we don't want to go to Haiti. There's too many missionaries there, and you dare not tell God you don't want to go someplace. He'll send you there. Just I think God's got a sense of humor about that. But that's kind of how we got to Haiti the first time in 1989.
Why suddenly in this role of serving in a pastorate or serving and helping a church, why suddenly let's get some high school kids and let's go on a missions trip? I mean, was there a catalyst behind that?
Really had seen the evidence of the value of short-term mission trips in the lives of kids over the years. My role, it was the first time I'd been in a role in a local church on a full-time basis, and it seemed we had the right group of young people. Again, we just brought four young people from the Mahomet area. There were actually, I think, a total of 20 young people from around the country on that team with Christ in Youth, which is out of Joplin, Missouri. They run a lot of conferences is what they're known for now, their summer teenage conferences. I had worked for them full-time, and so this was just kind of a natural opportunity to lead one of their mission trips.
Well, I'm thinking of some of our pastors that are maybe tuned in, or maybe youth pastors, or somebody that's considering or entertaining the idea of serving in a church. And I'm thinking some of the things that you experienced or learned through this missions trip, what you would say to them to say, oh, you got to do it. Step out of your comfort zone. Find a role where you can take others to serve or to invest in a congregation overseas or do an inner city project. So what was your takeaways from that very first trip? Because now you've returned to Haiti how many times?
Well, I've worn out a couple of passports, Mark. I honestly don't know how many times I've been to Haiti. I, of course, currently serve full-time as executive director for Haitian Christian Outreach, and part of my responsibility is to coordinate about 300 short-term missionaries in and out of Haiti annually. You know, what we say to people is that there's a couple of things that short-term mission trips can do for kingdom growth, and we try to look at it holistically. And number one, as far as Americans are concerned, we challenge people to go to learn first and to do second. Americans tend to want to do something.
Right.
And we tend to think we have all the answers if we're not careful. And so the opportunity, just like any other situation in day-to-day life, to build relationships with others and see how God can use those relationships is critical. And, of course, quite frankly, teenagers are a little more adventurous than most adults. They're willing to jump in. They can learn. They learn language quicker. They are willing to try new things, including new foods. Whereas some adults are a little bit less anxious to do that. And so we probably currently, our mix is probably about 30-70. About 30% of our short-termers are teenagers. This next week, for instance, I'm taking surgeons from Louisville, Kentucky, and most of them are bringing their daughters with them or sons. So there's some great family relationships that will develop. Dads who are surgeons don't usually get the opportunity to let their teenage daughter scrub in with them in the United States. And that can happen in Haiti.
Well, you just mentioned the Haiti Christian Outreach, and you serve as, what's your role, director?
I serve as the executive director. I tell people not to get too excited about that title. If you break it down, it just means we needed somebody we could execute when things didn't go according to direction, and you don't want to execute a full-time missionary, so that's my role. I'm the guy that gets executed.
And how long has the Haiti Christian Outreach been in existence, and how can we find out more about it? Because it sounds like if somebody's entertaining the idea, you know, I've always thought about serving, and I want to know a little more. It sounds like you're an organization or you're a situation where they could maybe, whether it's a couple people from one church or maybe a church that's saying, we want to serve effectively and we don't want to just reinvent the wheel. It sounds like you have some things put together where they could maybe plug right into that.
Absolutely. That's you know, in fact, the verse you read this morning is our kind of key verse. We you know, you can't change a country overnight. Mm-hmm. God can, but you and I can't. But we can join what God's doing and partner with others who have a philosophy of ministry that has long-term impact. You know, Haiti is sometimes called the Republic of NGOs. There are more non-governmental organizations in the small country of Haiti than there are per capita in any other country in the world, as far as we know. And yet, Haiti is still the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, a country of about 10 million people. That's less than half the size of the state of Maryland. So we have a very dense population, but a very poor population. And in spite of all the work, they're still poor. And a lot of that's because of American paternalism, where we've gone and done things for people that they could do for themselves instead of coming alongside people, trying to learn from them while at the same time sharing what we have to offer with them.
Wow. And you, through these various trips, you began, what, just wanting to learn? And then how did you grow to get more and more involved? Have you done church building, church planning? I know you're working on a hospital now, but tell us some of the things that you began doing in those early years. Because you've been serving there, I think, like, or been involved for 27 years, serving in various ways there.
Exactly. In fact, the first trip that we met two gentlemen, Roro and Gerard Eustache. Like mustache without the M, who were nationals who had been educated here in the States. And it started with a 52-year-old gentleman by the name of Bill Hostetler. Bill ran a small little carpet store in Millersburg, Ohio, in the middle of Amish country, had two children in college himself, but wanted to go on a short-term mission trip. Went on a trip to help build churches and saw people doing what a lot of people do when they come to Haiti, giving away their shoes at the end of the trip, giving away their clothing. And he turned to the pastor, the national pastor, and said, "Stephen, I want to do something for Haiti that will last. What can I do?" Mm-hmm. And Stephen Prophet pointed to Roro Eustache, who was 19 at the time, and said, "You take that young man to the United States, put him through school, send him back to us, and he'll change Haiti." And he did it. He actually committed to do so, brought Roro. Roro finished his undergraduate education at Ozark Christian College and then later came back and did a master's at Lincoln Christian Seminary. And we work in four major areas under Roro's leadership and Gerard's leadership in Haiti.
So all these years, he's continued. He did return, and he's been serving.
Exactly. And, in fact, he's who we worked with. I came back after doing that three-week trip with high schoolers and with my wife. I came back in September and preached a two-week revival meeting. That sounds rather foreign in today's culture, but there's not a lot of entertainment that goes on in Haiti, so it's not like they're waiting for their regular television show or all the children's activities we have here. But I came back and did a two-week revival meeting, and at that time, we were invited to be the forwarding agents for this, at that time, a family-based mission. It's grown much larger than that now. In fact, now we work in four major areas, Mark. We're actually first and foremost a church planting organization. In fact, we planted eight churches altogether, two in the last year. But secondly, we work with children. children. Haiti is terribly undereducated, and so we have about 2,500 children in our school systems. And then thirdly, we work in health care. And then finally, we're working in a brand new area we're very excited about. We call it community development, but we do a number of things in that arena, including developing new technologies for developing countries that will empower people to make a living instead of make them dependent on us.
Well, how can people find out more about the Haiti Christian Outreach, the work that you're doing? Is there a phone number, a website? I know you brought in a newsletter here, so if people wanted to get in touch with your Haitian Christian Outreach newsletter or some of the things you're doing so they can be praying up or financially supporting it, how would they contact you or what website?
Yeah, they can actually go to www.HaitianChristian, and that's HaitianChristian.org, HaitianChristian.org. The name of the organization is Haitian Christian Outreach. The website is HaitianChristian.org. And they can actually sign up for both our monthly online. We have two online newsletters that go out each month. One is called the E-Stories, and the other one is our Prayer Points update that goes out in the middle of the month. And then we do two full-color newsletters annually, and so that will also come in the mail. If people actually give us their mailing address, they get that as well.
In case you just tuned in, I have Pastor Mac Burberry in the studio with me. He's pastored locally here for many years at the Muhammad Christian Church, but he's had a heart for serving and working in Haiti for at least the past 27 years. And so if you missed a part of today's broadcast, I invite you to go to greatnewsradio.org and listen to this testimony on our archive programs link. Pastor Mac, I know there's a story that you like to share that has to deal with shoes and how, no pun intended, how that fits with John 3:16.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about that.
Well, as we were talking earlier, Gregory the Great, back in the 6th century, made commentary on John 3:16, and he simply said, "We are never more like God than when we give." I was actually working in a vacation Bible school with children several years ago, and we faced a dilemma. People kept sending me shoes, but I had no money to ship them to Haiti with, and they are needed, but shipping is expensive. And so we either had to tell people we didn't need them, which wasn't true, or we started a program. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. And so we do a thing called 2-for-5 Shoe Drive. We ask people to give us 2 pairs of shoes and a $5 bill to help get them to Haiti. And the children at this vacation Bible school in August were bringing their shoes. You know, it was August. They were getting new shoes for the new school year. They had older shoes that were still had plenty of wear, and they were giving those, and they were lined up on the front of the platform. And we had a little boy who had already given his shoes, and he was wearing his new school shoes on last Friday. And I looked up, and he walked down the aisle and very methodically took off his brand new shoes and put them on the platform. And I thought, I need to talk to Mom and Dad about this and make sure it's okay, and I did. And so I took those shoes to Haiti, and it was just a couple of weeks later that we had some boys in Haiti who were volunteering at our camp, and they were barefoot. Hmm. So after 2 or 3 days of working, Ro-Ro went and got some shoes and gave each boy a pair of shoes, and the little boy who got the shoes from Ohio was named Remito. It wasn't long after that that Ro-Ro began to hear from people in the community where we were working in this new church area, new church plant, "Pastor Ro-Ro, you need to get your bodyguard again. Pastor Ro-Ro, it's very dangerous for you to come here. Pastor Ro-Ro, there's a dangerous man looking for you." This went on for weeks until finally in the marketplace, Ro-Ro looked 2 blocks down the street on market day and saw the man who'd been looking for him. Now, this man was about 6'4", which is very tall for a Haitian. And the two began to walk towards one another. I tell people I wasn't there, but I'll use a little dramatic license. Mm-hmm. And it was like 2 gunmen in the Old West. Mm-hmm. But the crowd actually parted and began to get quiet because everybody knew this man was looking for Ro-Ro, and they feared him. Ro-Ro and Matthew faced each other in the marketplace, and Ro-Ro stuck his hand out and said, "My name is Pastor Ro-Ro, and I understand you've been looking for me." And Matthew surprised the crowd. He took Ro-Ro's hand, and he said, "My name is Matthew, and you did something for my son I couldn't do." And out from behind Matthew stepped little Remito with his brand new shoes on. And then Matthew, the leading witch doctor in all of Southeast Haiti, did something that shocked the crowd even more. He took his son's hand and he put it in Pastor Ro-Ro's, and he said, "I want you to take my son, and I want you to teach him to follow Jesus." Now, of course, Ro-Ro immediately shared with him about God's grace, but Matthew said, "No, I've already sold my soul to the devil." So Ro-Ro said, "Fine, you bring your son to church every Sunday morning if you want me to teach him to follow Jesus." Matthew would bring him, but he wouldn't step foot on our property because, in the words of 1 John, and I've heard witch doctors actually quote this passage without knowing they were, Matthew feared the Spirit of God. He knew the Spirit that was within us was stronger than the Spirit within him. But to make a long story a little shorter, finally, about 6 weeks later, Roro called me, and over the bad connection, it sounded like he was saying the church was on fire. We didn't need that. And he said, no, not the church. He said, Matthew and Romito came today and gave their lives to Christ, and we marched to his voodoo temple, and we've torn down all the accoutrements of his practice of witchcraft, and we're burning them. And now we're going to the ocean to baptize Matthew and Romito into Christ. It was just a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Hardly a significant gift, but it changed two people's lives for eternity.
Mm. Well, listeners, I'm sure you're touched and encouraged and blessed and challenged by that very story, but God can take our little and do miraculous things to advance the kingdom. And I would encourage you to stop by HaitianChristian.org. That's HaitianChristian.org. Or you can call the Haitian Christian Outreach at 217-778-6023. That's 217-778-6023. And who knows, maybe Great News Radio down the road will partner with you, Pastor Mac, and maybe we can get a group of people to go over, or we'll see. I know I get a lot of these ideas and I got to pray it all up, but, you know, I do believe God wants to use this radio ministry to get people out of their comfort zone, to grow closer to the Lord Jesus, to serve and to assist and to be that modeling agent, that ambassador, to press kingdom influence and power and authority into all the world. And so we'll pray it up. How can we pray maybe specifically for you and the work of the Haitian Christian Outreach?
You know, I would just say two things. Number one, Pastor Roro and I both travel back to Haiti this week. We have teams continually right now. But we are endeavoring to license that new hospital, which opens some wonderful doors for us to minister to government officials and the Ministry of Health and to do the obvious, and that's to care for the health care needs of people in Haiti. So pray for that new hospital to be opened up March the 5th.
All right, listeners. I know we have a lot of prayer warriors. Be praying for Pastor Mac. Be praying for this new hospital. And if you'd like to learn more about the Haitian Christian Outreach, go to HaitianChristian.org. That's HaitianChristian Christian.org. Or you can call them at 217-778-6023. That's 217-778-6023. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.